Today at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, South Dakota intends to carry out its 19th execution since 1877. Rodney S. Burgett is scheduled to die by lethal injection at the South Dakota State Penitentiary today. He was convicted of the brutal slaying of Correctional Officer Ron R.J. Johnson. Eric Robert was also convicted of Johnson's murder, and Robert was executed on October 15, 2012. Former South Dakota lawmaker Steve Hickey has been advocating an end to the death penalty in South Dakota for some time. He joins us today on the phone for insight. Steve Hickey, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be with you.
How long has the death penalty and sort of a repeal of the death penalty in South Dakota been on your mind, been something that you've trying to, you know, sort of convince other state lawmakers to push forward?
Actually, pretty recently, about 7 or 8 years ago, I had a complete change of mind and heart on the issue. I, like probably the majority of South Dakotans, found justifications for the death penalty and was very settled in my view on that, and I started to revisit it. And at every single point, I convinced myself to take the opposite position. So mine was a later in life change of mind, and for reasons that have to do with the facts regarding the death penalty. It's a bad public policy, and it is certainly not a consistent pro-life ethic, which has been a priority for me.
So do you find that that when you talk to other people, the sort of the faith conversation is more compelling to them, or sort of the policy conversation is more compelling to them when you talk to other people about possibly changing their minds? Where do you start?
Right. Well, I don't start with the faith aspect of it. I don't think the policy aspect's the best place to start. I think we should start kind of right in the middle with the social reasons why this is not a good way to treat people who do really bad things and what the other ramifications are of that. I certainly can argue it from a religious vantage point have done that. I don't think you have to have a religious vantage point to understand the sanctity of human life. My goodness, this weekend, you know, I know I'm not alone in saying, you know, many of us weary of the killing that's out there and the justifications for killing. After what just happened in Pennsylvania, and then today we're ramping up within the hour, Burgett is to be executed. And I think we need to quit justifying killing at all levels. I have talked to a number of times Burgett's lawyer. And one time he said to me that every death-eligible person that he's ever defended has had justifications for their killing, who they killed. And I think it's true, whether it's war or anything, we justify this at some level. And the people who do this justify it, and then we justify it to kill them. And I'm saying let's back off these justifications and look at what we're doing. In the Argus Leader this morning, there was an article on Burgett's brother, you know, even was executed. This is a family that you know, lived in violence, and you'll find that with death penalty people on death row, is they come from long histories of not only poverty but personal and physical and sexual abuse, and they only know how to handle things via violence. There's substance abuse and neglect and fatherlessness, and and so they get into situations, and they do what comes natural to them. Hmm. And then we get them in the prison system, and instead of introducing them for the first time in their life to their dignity as a human being, it's punitive, it's retributive justice. And we're telling our kids, that, you know, killing's always wrong, but this time we're going to kill this guy so we can stop killing. And it really is an insanity.
So I want to talk a little bit about, Steve Hickey, if I can jump in here for a moment. I want to talk a little bit about the victims of Burgett's crime. So R.J. Johnson was a correctional officer. Right. The details of the killing are quite brutal. And I'm going to play just a little bit as Governor Dugard has spoken about this execution. Here's a little clip of his conversation with journalist Bob Mercer.
He had two life sentences that he was facing for kidnapping and attempted murder. He kidnapped a young woman at gunpoint really put her through quite a lot. And then in this escape attempt, killed our prison guard and wrapped his head with cellophane and beat him to death with a lead pipe. He's a threat to society, even within prison walls.
So there's a couple of things happening there. And one is this sense of you know, the sacredness of life means that what he has done needs to have a consequence, which is what you're talking about being punitive. But this other notion of being dangerous even within the prison walls, and at some point society saying, this is what needs to happen, not only because of the nature of what this man has done, but because he is still a risk, mm-hmm. Clearly evidenced by the death of R.J. Johnson.
Right. Well, I appreciate what the governor said there. He and I have talked about this, and I produced two death penalty repeals. We've debated this ad nauseum. And, you know, I think the fact of the matter is everyone who is on death row is convicted of some heinous. It is ugly. It is bad. It's the worst of humanity. And no one's denying that. They should be in jail the rest of their life. We can take away their life without taking away their life. And it's not true, though, that you know, we can't incarcerate really dangerous people. Burgett wasn't the worst guy in that prison. He wasn't, and he did something really horrible. What's not being talked about is what was being talked about in the closing arguments of the trial, is that Robert Burgett, you know, had said, we're going to get out of here one way or another. And that meant they're going to try to escape, and if they can't, then the state can take them out with the death penalty. And so effectively, the death penalty in South Dakota makes that prison more dangerous for a guard because it draws a target on their back. And a person wants to get out, and they're fixed on it, they kill a guard, and they can go. If that wasn't on the table, it's presumption, but it's plausible that they could have just tied up Officer Johnson and gone on to their escape attempt. And so it's not true that we can't incarcerate dangerous people. If we're worried about that, we're going to have to execute a whole lot of people because the prisons are full of them. But I appreciate the governor's position on that. You know, and the Johnson case, I've talked to Mrs. Johnson a number of times. She's been into my office. You know, this really devastated their family. But, you know, today isn't bringing closure. I say the death penalty delays closure. What are we 10 years out from this? And I've tried to push her toward, you know, the issues of forgiveness. And those are the redemptive stories that our society needs. Today's just, we should all have a big pit in our stomach today with what's going on.
And I suspect all of us do. In some ways, if South Dakota lawmakers were to repeal the death penalty, what's next? Are there other reforms that need to happen? You know, in how we incarcerate people, does it end there? If we say, okay, well, we're not going to do this, but there are other things that need to be addressed. What do you see comes after?
South Dakota is one of the states yet to fall in prohibiting the death penalty. There's conservatives like myself who are saying this is not limited government. We do not want to have a state big enough to kill its own citizens. We will rue that day. But when we eliminate the death penalty, you know, there's life in prison without parole. And so there is an incarceration thing. But your bigger question is absolutely my point. We need a total fix of the system so it's not retributive. It needs to be redemptive. And, you know, I have a conversation last week with somebody who's in for life. The officer shook down their room, and that means that when they came back, everything is just sprayed all over the floor. All their personal possessions are in a disarray. And, you know, the rest of us say, well, they served them right. But if we're teaching people when they get out to have a high value on the personal property of others and respect, we're teaching the opposite thing in every aspect of our criminal justice system. And especially when it comes to life, we need to introduce people who have never had it introduced to them that their life is valuable, and so is everyone around them. And that's just a good That's the way society needs to go.
Let's talk briefly about some of the other arguments that people say for maintaining the death penalty. And one of them is economic. They would argue that mm-hmm. it's going to cost a lot of money to keep somebody, in prison for a lifetime.
Well, yeah. And, you hear somebody say, well, yeah, a 50-cent bullet will take care of this. We need to remember that our system of justice has appeal processes that are very, very valuable. The number of people who are exonerated is, I think there's been 156 in the last, 2 decades. That's 1 in 10. I don't remember who it was, like Benjamin Franklin or somebody said, I'd rather set 100 guilty people free than see one person who's innocent killed. So we don't want to give up on the appeals, especially as, I'm a person who doesn't have a whole lot of faith in, a lot of things in government these days to do it right. We can't even, with the presidential election and the, people are, our Department of Justice, who knows what's going on in there. So I do think we need to slow it way down when a human life is involved. And therefore, it is cheaper to incarcerate someone for life than it is to go through this very expensive and long drawn out process to terminate their life. Mm.
Do you find traction with the folks? Do you think this is something that will come up again? Are there people who are sort of carrying the conversation to say it's time? Are voters trying to get things on a ballot? What's the future of this in the state?
It's coming again. I don't know how soon. Since I've started talking about it, people are changing their minds. I did. It's one thing, for somebody, I don't mean to, be disparaging, but somebody who's Catholic, and I'm not, but somebody who's Catholic, oh, yeah, they're going to be pro-life, or they're going to be against the death penalty, they're against contraception or whatever, and that gets dismissed because of their religious affiliation. Or somebody who's on the left side of the aisle, oh, of course, they're a bleeding heart liberal. But what happens when a guy like me who comes along, who's not only a conservative Protestant, politically and theologically, and coming along and saying, this is really the opposite of what we're trying to do to make society better. People are starting to listen. Throw out the arguments. We've been dealing with them. And I think people will see the best way forward is to have a very consistent pro-life ethic. And to explain that very quickly, it means that your humanity is not dependent upon anything. Your stage of development, your level of disability or deformity, your degree of dependence, end-of-life issues, and they're still a human being. And I throw in another one, depravity. You doing something inhumane does not forfeit your humanity. And so I think if we get back to those core values, we'll see a shift in society. And I think it goes with our kids. If we really wanted this to be a deterrent, we'd have it on television and make every public university and high school student watch it. Mm. But it's not a deterrent. It only stops one person. And, they were already disarmed anyway. With prisoners of war, it's immoral to kill a defenseless person. And so, what are we doing, an hour from now in Sioux Falls? It should upset us.
Steve Hickey joining us today on the phone to talk about his thoughts and others about the execution of Rodney Burgett and the death penalty in the state of South Dakota. Steve Hickey, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.